This week on Art in the Air, we feature artist and art educator Jessica Corral, whose DIY Artist Studio provides art projects for young people. Next, we have an encore visit with singer-songwriter-guitarist Michelle Schaefer, whose original music touches on subjects of love, spirit, time, and life's purpose. Our spotlight's on the 54th season of Canterbury Theatre with its current production of No Way to Treat a Lady.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. To welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight. We've had them on before with their great shows, and they have another summer theater coming up called No Way to Treat a Lady, and it's going to be running July 20th through the 30th. And we're privileged to have at the Canterbury Theater, by the way, in Michigan City, we have Ray Scott Crawford, who is the artistic director, the associate artistic director, David Graham, and the director, Laurie Labor, and we're going to talk about the show. Welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. Aloha.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I think we'll first ask either Ray Scott or David how you chose the show briefly, and then we'll ask Laurie about what the show's about.
I'll let David tell you about choosing the show. He's instrumental in that.
Okay, well, I tear up a bunch of names and put them in a hat. No. what happened when we choose shows? It's a very Ray Scott and I. It's a very thoughtful process, and we have to take into account, you know, our piece of material, its artistic and commercial appeal, as well as whether or not we have the budget, the facility to handle it, whether or not our audiences we feel might like it or not. And so we stumbled on this. Actually, we've been looking at it for a few years and thought it would be sounded like a really interesting interesting show that would really fit in with the kind of things that we do. And so, you know, listened to the cast album and, you know, researched its background and thought, yeah, let's give it a whirl. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Ray Scott, anything to add on that?
Well, I think we always have to consider our company and the limitations. Our model has been for the past, you know, 10 years or so is 5-6 people max. And this one has 4 people in it. But, you know, you have those limitations. There's only so many shows that would fit into that formula. And we were very fortunate that this is one of those shows.
Very good. Well, move on to the director. Now, the cast is already in place. Laurie, you have to kind of deal with that. So you're the director for this show. Tell us a little bit about the show and about the characters, which is only a 4-character show.
Absolutely. So No Way to Treat a Lady is about a serial killer and the detective that is hunting him down. And through this process, they create kind of a weird friendship as the serial killer is wanting recognition in New York Times and is wanting this audience, basically. And within the show, there are several characters that are murder victims. There's also the detective's mother, the serial killer's mother, who is a ghost, And the serial killer is a theater artist. So every time he commits a murder, there's new accents and whole new mannerisms that I think are going to be really fun. I'm really excited to work on those. And yeah, it's 1970s summer New York City.
So that's the period. And the show, I think, was debuted off Broadway in like the 1990s, if I remember correctly, and everything. Now, you obviously you work with a music director and everything. Tell us your process. Do you know they learn the music and then you work with how you're going to stage it with the music? Or tell us about that whole process.
Yeah, so the rehearsal process is only about 2 weeks, and that's the same for the whole summer. Every show has about 2 weeks to rehearse. So some rehearsals are purely for acting, some are purely for music, and we just kind of flip-flop and adjust as needed to make sure that our show is going to be show-ready in those 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something. And
it's intense.
Because you have four people, but you have multiple characters. I mean, it's like a separate person for each of those characters, but it's just one person.
And on top of that, the actors are doing another show at night for a lot of the days of rehearsal. So they're rehearsing all day and then performing an entirely different show that they have to still keep in their mind. It's definitely an intense process.
Yeah. Well, welcome to repertory theater. That's what it's all about. You're doing one and everything like that. Hannah is involved with the show too. She is a stage manager and wears actually multiple hats. As you're coming up in this, how easy is that for you to do? Stage managing is a really tough thing, but tell us about how it's going, Hannah.
So it's honestly been like, I think, you know, maybe at other places it could have been much more difficult to, you know, have, you know, like two or three hats to wear. But I've been really fortunate that it's not been too difficult for me to stage manage and still have to worry about props for shows and then also now take on responsibilities as assistant company manager, especially because with the tech crew that we do have around and the actors that might have other tech responsibilities, that there are always people willing to help our stage manager for the other shows. Anytime I needed a prop for the show I was stage managing that I couldn't run and get, they were always right there to go run down and grab it for me, help out. It's been a good process to learn how to juggle important responsibilities all at once.
Very good. Well, real quick, and I'm going to beat this back to Ray Scott or David. This is your closer for the season. Are you starting to look for what's coming up next season? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I want to say that it's our final company, resident company show for the season, but we actually have one more. It's Sylvia.
Right.
And that is a comedy that is the fifth show of our summer. And I bring that up from Bossier Parish Community College. We won't talk about next year's shows for a little while yet. We'll take a breather and then worry about that, you know, in the fall, probably.
Very good. Well, one of you want to pick up, we're about ready to wrap it up here. Give us the show, times, dates, everything like that, how to contact you, everything, so we can get that for our audience to get them out. This is, by the way, your opening night when this is airing, so break a leg.
Thank you.
No Way to Treat a Lady is playing at the Canterbury Summer Theater, located 807 Franklin. Our phone number is 219-874-4269. You can look for us online at canterburytheater.org or find us on the Facebook at Canterbury Summer Theater. I think those are all the if you have any questions, you can email us at info@canterburytheater.org.
Well, we'd like to thank you all for being on Art of the Year Spotlight Canterbury Theater and their upcoming production that's opening tonight, No Way to Treat a Lady. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Year Spotlight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Every major paper is in my favor. There is victory to savor. If only for the Times. There it lies across the floor. Here I sit, afraid to move, since they buried me last week on page 11. They ignore me every time, so I know the outlook's bleak.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Jessica Correll to Art on the Air. Jessica has been involved in the arts since childhood. Her career in the arts started with her own graphic and web design business called Jade and Raspberry Design. A change in direction led her to become an art educator. She is also very active in the greater arts community. Thank you, Jessica, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha, welcome.
Hello, hello.
So, Jessica, tell us a little bit about yourself. We always like to know the background of our guests. I always like to say, like, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about yourself.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Dyer, went to Lake Central High School. I was born as a twin into the world, so there's actually two of me. Wow. One lives in California. we're definitely different, though. We gravitated to be very close when we were younger, obviously, but went in different directions, and I definitely took on more of the art-related kind of direction. Ended up going to IU together and went ahead and studied. Personally, I went to go study music production and ended up going into the wrong class, quote unquote, wrong class, and ended up doing studio production and became kind of in the director field and script writing. And then I also minored in graphic design. So that's really what led the passion for digital creations and video production and the like.
What did your twin go into?
She went into more medical profession. She's like a heart mapper with St. Jude. So she does like electropulmonary, she's a rehab specialist that works with PAs. So totally different direction compared to me. But we're both amazing writers and very good with creative projects and events. And we actually help with the community in a lot of events. So there are some overlaps. I came out of IU and had two children really early on, and so developed my own design company, which I haven't heard that name in quite a while. Jaden Raspberry Designs was actually inspired by the names of my kids, as well as my two favorite colors. And so it was just very interesting. That was really what I developed. I had for about 8 to 10 years. When the recession hit, it kind of changed the game and the direction of what I was doing. So at that point, switched over into education, went and got my master's in education in the arts, and became an art teacher here in Valpo for the last 12 years. So yeah, definitely a shift.
And you were at Portage for a while too, weren't you?
I actually started in Portage with my mentorship and student teaching and stayed there for about 2 years before I switched over to Valpo.
Do you teach elementary school or middle school?
Elementary, so K-5 has been my sweet spot. Although I can teach all the way upwards to high schoolers, but I just have always, I don't know, I just really like the youth and their excitement of learning how to do things out of nothing, you know, being shown that they can have incredible new things that they can learn each day. And that to me, the youth in that and the beautiful innocence of that feels really good to be able to teach them. So that's my audience that I've tapped into.
You know, if you've listened to our show before, Jessica was on when we were doing our special about teachers during COVID and how they dealt with it. So Jessica has been with us before talking about some of the challenges of that, and maybe just refreshes how teaching under COVID was kind of a real challenge. You know, all of a sudden you don't have kids in class.
No, but it was also the real inspiration also for or propellant for what you're doing now as well. So
It definitely had an impact. There were challenges with it, but there were also some things that were gleaned from it that were really productive, to be quite honest. There was a new way of addressing the arts digitally and maybe a Zoom format that you wouldn't normally address your class in, and that allowed us to grow in different ways of reaching kids, especially when they're at home or don't have the materials and all of those challenges. Also, it helped expanded my business, which I've been in education for quite a while, but started developing DIY Art Studio around 2018. And so there were a lot of shifts that happened as a result of COVID. The isolation and the fact that everything shut down really pushed me to evolve my business in a way I wouldn't have otherwise. And so that allowed me to create subscription art boxes and provide the materials and deliver to the hands of kids that had a need to learn from home, that didn't have the outlets that maybe other kids had. And it just really opened up a pretty cool door for me in terms of a teacher. And I think that was really geared toward the fact that COVID pushed me to that level of reaching out to kids outside of my classroom.
So tell us a little bit about what the DIY does. You know, you've done, you know, obviously you've done that. And I know I saw at the art fair in Valparaiso, you were giving out boxes for people that would just show up for free, and they were sponsored. But tell us about the studio, what someone could expect, how they would use it at home, or however you do that.
DIY Art Studio, you can visit me online. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram at DIY Art Studios. Basically started with the idea of just reaching creators of any age anywhere. And so I did that through through three different platforms. One was through online delivery of instruction. Two was through delivery of materials to individuals. And three was in-person learning. And so there's just a multitude of things, whether it was events or having holiday-related sessions. I did a summer session of 16 weeks with kids last year. And then that's kind of shifted over into the delivery service that we had talked about. So delivery ended up being where I'm drawing in all of my subscribers on a quarterly basis, and delivering, seasonal information packets. They would receive three projects within each of their DIY art boxes, right? And all of those three projects would have all the materials they need and the access to the online tutorials, which were created by me. So my video studio production kind of came into play there. A lot of things that were pieces of who I was in the past really came together for DIY Art Studio in such a cool way. And so I was excited to see that as a creator myself. But what that ended up morphing into is really what Larry had touched on, is a giveaway. So this past in June, I partnered up with Valparaiso Creative Council and a few other sponsors, brought some people on board to basically give away 270 bags. They were reusable bags this year, this summer for our kits, which were very summer themed, so that kids could receive them and create from home. And that was initiated back in December. I did a giveaway to about 100 kids who were low income, and they received Christmas gifts. So I had a beautiful sponsor come in during that time to give away DIY Art Studio boxes during Christmas. So now that's two giveaways that I've done, and I really like the way that it feels. I love the ability to give to kids that maybe wouldn't otherwise receive, maybe wouldn't otherwise be reached. And so when we were at the Art Fest on this about 2 weeks ago, Larry was there with me as well. We were able to hand deliver these out to the hands of kids that were visiting the Art Fest at the time, and they were just very excited about it. So within 2 days, gave away 200 bags. There's been a little bit of a shift in the way that I orchestrate and kind of outreach to my audience.
Yeah, thanks to those community sponsors. We really appreciate them. Can you give us some background on Spring Into the Arts program? Like how?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we could probably touch base on with the projects that I've led and exhibits that I've done. Spring Into the Arts was formerly a seed that was planted back in 2015, and just a way for us as art teachers to open up the community to kids so that their artwork could be showcased and that they could have platforms that they could walk around to different locations and see their artwork on display. And that's really what Spring Into the Arts created, was an opportunity for kids to be seen. And so as an art teacher, that's really important to me. As an art teacher in my own business, that's developing the creativity of other kids, helping them not only learn the confidence of creating something, but also being seen at a level that is supportive within the community. It's a win-win. So Spring Into the Arts really ties into that component of really putting the kids out on their own stage so that everybody can see what they do, every grade level.
I want to go back to the DIY box and see what's in the kit. What kind of project is there going on?
Well, okay, so for summer it was really cool because I wanted to take more of a playful theme. So we have chalk and squirt guns and paintbrushes and using food coloring and making artwork out of Ziploc bags, all of these things that you wouldn't normally expect to be the materials that you would use for art, created for this season's box. And I say box, but they're in reusable bags. Just changed it up a little bit to make it more reusable and friendly for the kids. And there were journals included and markers and all kinds of fun materials. Normally in a box, you would get anywhere between maybe 3 to 4 materials plus paper, you know, to make sure that they have what they need. In this particular outreach, we had over 15 items within each of the bags, and all of them were summer related. And so it was really a fun way for kids to just, maybe unexpectedly use materials from around the house that they wouldn't normally gravitate to. So they're learning how to make art out of Ziploc bags, which you probably wonder, how is that possible? What do you do there? But that's the fun part of diving into a box, is that you get to be shown that.
Do you have you're so busy with teaching and doing this, do you have anything for your own art practice? What do you do besides that? Do you have time for that?
Larry, I make time for art all the time.
Good. Well, tell us about what you do.
Yeah, so I've had 2 personal art exhibits already in the last, I would say, 3 years. In 2018 was my first personal art exhibit, that was at Blackbird Cafe. Daniel's a really great supporter of artists, and you know, I was one that was able to hang on their walls for quite a while. Really sold out all of my pieces, and even worked with my church on individual projects that they wanted made for the walls with all of their constituents and kids, creating artwork for their church. And then I had a second exhibit, what year was that? 2021. So it was last October. And that was at Roots. And so ended up selling out my paintings there as well. So I had 2 exhibits, each with about 20 to 25 pieces, pretty large size, that all found homes, which is really fun and engaging as an artist to have that confirmation of your artwork be put out there and not know what the outcome is going to be, and then have such support was really amazing to have. So
what kind of painting do you do? I mean, what mediums do you use? What subjects do you use?
I'm really a mixed media kind of girl. I love diving into different things all the time and really just pushing my limitations there. But I will say that both of my exhibits were really based on, the first one was based on birds. They're kind of my spirit animal. They're kind of my thing. And so I found different ways to create pieces of artwork regarding birds. And some of them, it was like looking at their eyes, focusing on their wings, making, you know, artwork out of feathers. And really just diversifying what art would look like with that one theme. The second theme that I did was more light-based, and it was called Refractured Light, which is almost like broken glass, or you can attribute it to almost like cubism, where you dissect the image up into different pieces, and each piece is a different tone or tint of a color. And so it's just a beautiful wide array of colors. And that was really a fun style to dive into. Very different from my first exhibit, but both of them are very, they were very rewarding and very therapeutic, which is what I hope to also infuse for not only young creators, but adults that I work with, the therapy of art and how it helps us process through maybe some of the things we've experienced in life, and gives you that quiet time to just focus on something that isn't right or wrong, that just is, you know, is in flow.
Do you have another show coming up, or are you working on another theme for your own personal work right now?
Thank you. Good question. I haven't, and I just thought about that actually before I jumped on the interview with you guys. It's like, oh, I wonder when I'm going to do my next one. And oftentimes when I ask that question, it immediately appears. So I don't have a date. I don't have anything planned, but I feel like probably within the next year, I'd like to do a third one and maybe merge the two different versions in some kind of way or come up with something new. But I love creating art. I love showcasing it. I love putting it out there. And certainly have had a fun experience doing that as an artist.
Did you work with did you work with adults at all in terms of art, teaching art or working with them, like workshops or anything like that, or plans to do so?
Yeah, I've done a fundraiser with Porter County Hospital a few years back. I think I helped lead over 98 adults through a sip and paint process. And they had a really great time raising money for one of their, it escapes me right now, but for one of their countries that they're trying to do outreach for. But as far as working with adults, one thing that I do is actually in January, I opened up a program for women who were interested in creating their own brand. And so since I have a lot of history of graphic design and branding with clients, I took on 7 individuals, came in within a 6-week period, and we started from scratch. We started with the concept of their vision, developed a logo and created a landing page and made their own starting point and platform for their business, which was absolutely amazing. So in that way, I work with adults, specifically women in that case, and help empower them to not only create a vision for what it is that they hope to do for a business or, you know, serving others or whatever kind of gifts they have to add to the world, but also making it tangible. So it's something that they can actually put out into the world and represent their creative spirit about that vision. And so that was really amazing to be able to do too.
Does that include web design or web items?
Yeah, so we start with the idea of, you know, just the concept of their brand and what that looks like, and then in the form of colors and a name and a logo, and what is branding beyond a logo? What does it look like when you do typography or make posts? There's so many layers to branding. And then the final item is to create a landing page, which is a web page where they can direct their audience or their, you know, clientele to come and learn more about them and take an action step to connect with them. And it just provides that process of from start to finish of, you know, whatever it is they have visioned to share with the world. And so that's really what I was there to facilitate. It was an amazing process, and I'm actually looking to do that again on the second round here coming up in the next week or so.
Now, a lot of times people think teachers have the summer off, so to speak. But while you're not in class, what kind of preparation are you doing for next school year?
You know what? I'm a very organic teacher in that way. I think after 12 years, I've tapped into all of the processes that work for me, whether it's getting vocabulary ready, having certain curriculum developed where each month is a certain theme. I typically go through a lot of things in the same order, but with different projects, if that makes sense. So we'll talk about color, we'll talk about portraits, we'll talk about landscapes, we'll talk about culture. Like, I know that that's going to happen no matter what. And so as far as the prep work, it's just really me tapping into what is my inspiration coming into this year? How does it look different from last year? What have I learned and gleaned from how I provided the instruction before, and what can I improve on? And so, to be quite honest with you, Larry, I don't think about teaching until August. So
I understand.
You're not supposed to ask me about teaching until August. So you're a little early.
I understand. Of course, I work in my position with the school. I work year round, so but it was a lot quieter in the summer. What advice would you have for someone who wants to go into art? Well, first of all, art or art teaching, especially.
I think that there's definitely the potential and the need for it. Definitely at this time where teachers are highly needed in that line of work. But if it's a passion that you're inclined to lean into, then I being a passionate teacher myself, I know that it serves me. It serves the students that I'm there for. And I wholeheartedly encourage anybody else to do that. But there is a lot of layers to teaching. I being a principal, I'm sure you understand the political arena and all of the things that are adjusted year to year, what changes. No year looks the same. You're definitely in a place of excitement and renewal. But you also have that cyclical format where each summer you can reset, which is really beautiful. And not every arena offers that as an occupation. So,
Jessica, do your children enjoy art? And then a second question would be, where in your house do you create? Do you have a particular area, or is it throughout the house?
Both of my kids are very expressive in their own ways. And my daughter is a self-made illustrator. She's phenomenal, has surpassed me beyond words. My son is very much performance-based. He can memorize anything. He was memorizing, I think he had 20, 25 insurance commercials memorized at age 3. Like, why? But it's just what he did. And so each of them have their own way of expressing themselves. And it's beautiful to watch.
Real quick, we only have a little over a minute left. You're involved with the Valpo Creative Council. And tell us real briefly about that. But they have an event coming up, which is, I think, August 7th. So tell us briefly about that.
Yeah, Valparaiso Creative Council has really been something that I was at the very implementation of back in 2016. And then I kind of backed away for a little bit for personal reasons with things going on in my life and just a lot of changes. And I came back into the VCC. And I'm so excited that I did, because we're so action oriented right now. There's been a lot happening since I joined the last 6 months. We have an amazing event. It's called Let's Skate Fundraiser, and it's going to be August 7th. That's on a Sunday from 12 to 3. It'll be at Butterfield Pavilion. And what we're doing is we're asking all of the kids and all of the public to come in on their wheels. So we're kind of avoiding driving in a car, but you can if you want to. It's just we're looking to really get and build the excitement of the skate park. So a lot of the proceeds that we're going to be raising will be going towards artwork for the skate park. And that just helps us be another bridge. And that's really what Valparaiso Creative Council does, is we identify what's in need within our community. We try to solidify some artists to create that for our community. And then we really pull everything up together so that we can be, a tangible presence of art within Valpo. And so that's really what it is. If anybody would like to go, they can always follow Valparaiso Creative Council on Facebook at Valpo Creates.
Okay, well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air, telling us all about you, Jessica Correll. You can also find out about her at the DIYArtStudio.com. Also, I think on Facebook and everything. Thank you so much for being on Art on the Air.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, both of you, for having me on.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Like to welcome back to Art in the Air someone who's been with us before and sharing her wonderful talents. Her musical writing touches on subjects of light, love, spirit, time, and life's purpose. And also her guitar arrangements have been a framework for her voice, informed by a pop, rock, classical, flamenco, and Americana style. She writes using a nylon string, steel string, and electric guitars, as well as piano. I guess our musical style is eclectic and speaks to the heart. We'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air our singer, songwriter, guitarist friend, Michelle Schaefer. Welcome back to Art in the Air.
Aloha.
Oh, aloha. Thank you so much for inviting me. Everybody's doing well. Spring is upon us.
It sure is. Well, our guests, just to remind them, you can listen to Michelle's previous interview on April 26, 2019 on our website. And she was also part of her COVID-19 updates.
What was your life growing up musically? Was there a lot of music in the household? Were there the piano lessons, or
there wasn't any music lessons really. My dad was a fifer. He was in a fife and drum corps. So I did learn to play fife pretty young, but I didn't keep that up. And I did I had guitar lessons as a teenager, so I didn't get piano lessons, but I did have guitar lessons, and I did study classical guitar. My mother sang to us, played guitar, folk songs. She loved Johnny Cash. We had lots of Peter, Paul, and Mary records, classical records. I personally loved the Beatles from the get-go, from very small. Some of my earliest radio memories were hearing, Happy Just to Dance with You and Please Please Me. And, and my dad would pick up the guitar and he would pretend, you know, he would write silly songs on the guitar. He would sing this silly song, Go to C, Go to C, Go to G, and Back to C. And, let's see. And I always loved to sing. And
what about writing? In high school, were you writing poetry?
I was writing poetry. I wrote my first song at 17. As a little girl, though, I went into a field. I was around 8 years old. I tried to write a song. I really wanted to write a song. So I guess what I did was I asked. And I think I realized that I had a poetic voice in my teenage years. I would hear things like, yes, I heard this voice. It was saying prose and poetry, and I needed to write it down. And let's see. So my music teacher used to make me sing America the Beautiful in front of everybody all the time. She would always choose me. And recently I had a friend who listened to some recordings online, somebody I knew as a little girl. She mentioned, oh, Michelle, I listened to what you were doing. You always loved your voice when we were growing up. And I was very, very touched by that.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
Laura Richards. Thank you, Laura. So
when did that transition into, I want to do music and I want to create a body of music, like your first CD?
My first CD didn't actually happen until 1999. Mm-hmm. I was writing through those years. I got married in 92, and I had never stopped writing. I just was distracted by creating a business with my husband, that we were making money. We have an art business. And so my music kind of got swept to the side. And then I did do this recording, and then I had a child. I had a child.
That's a big project.
It was lovely. It's been a great project. And then in 2013, my neighbor, Kathleen Lombardo, was a dear friend, and I call her my spiritual mother, my creative mother. And she always encouraged my writing. I would take her songs, I would take her poetry, and she would just push to get it better and rewrites and just to continue. The support was incredible from her. And she died in 2013 in August, suddenly, a very quick illness. And after that, it was like a floodgate. I don't know if she became my muse, I was writing. I created this song. That's how Dashboard happened, this album that was to my master, Mare Baba. So that song was one of the first songs that I wrote after her death. And then it just was an explosion. So I did two records within a year and a half, secular record which is Gray Area, and a record called Dashboard that has a bunch of spirit songs to the beloved.
Well, you have a new thing you've been working that's inspired, a new album that you've worked on that's been inspired by COVID. And we want to hear a cut from the first one. It's called, I believe, Stranger. So tell us a little bit about that, and we'll take a quick listen to just part of that. We don't want to release the whole songs because they haven't been released yet. So tell us a little about it.
Well, it was just, I started it on You know, songs are happenings, and it kind of has that James Bond kind of riff thing going in it. And, the bridge or the chorus is about where we've been, where are you going? All can change in a flash in time. You've seen beyond. You got a glimmer of knowing how it is we walk this thin line. I mean, everything can change in an instant. So that song kind of happened, and one of the things that the guitars and the vocals I recorded here in this room that I'm sitting in, and then I took it to my guy, Brian Leach, and he did all the mixing and added additional instruments. So all the oohs, I arranged those. And it's kind of like a 1930s Esther Williams film, this kind of sound. It was very exciting, very exciting. And so one of the things that happened during COVID, I was turning myself into a choir in my studio. And
the joys of your home studio that your lovely husband built for you.
So I have the opportunity to play around and just do whatever I feel like today, when I don't have to work, you know, like, oh, let me try this, let me try that. So more and more, some of the production or the direction of the music is what I've been doing here in my space, rather than going to a studio and Brian, which he's great, I love working with him, being the driving force of what happens on the record, which is kind of what happened on Gray Area, less for Love Forever, but we're ending up producing together more. And this record in particular, or this CD or album, is really driven by a fusion of acoustic elements, orchestral, merged with a classical element that is a little different.
Let's take a quick listen to Stranger off the Scattered Light album, coming out this summer in 2021.
When the stranger comes to call, he walks right in, says nothing at all. Of the offering, finest vintage, rare and altering. Where you been? Where are you going?
And that was Stranger from the new Scattered Light album from Michelle Schaefer. A beautiful piece there.
So mysterious sounding.
Thank you.
Well, tell us about the title cut from Scattered, called Scattered Light, which, what was the inspiration beyond on that?
Well, Scattered Light, actually, I started writing the song with these harmonics, playing chords with harmonics, just going through a whole, like, four or five chords, all played up above the 12th fret with harmonics. And the lines that came to me, the dark will call you out, but the light will find you. The dark will call you out, but the light will find you. And I had this going, and I had the structure, but I needed something, and I didn't know what it was. And then I was at a Zoom thing, and a friend, my friend Rosalie, read this poem, this very short poem by this woman, Phyllis Frederick, from a book called Light on Running Water. And it was, so part of her poem has been edited into this song. The woman's no longer living. Phyllis is gone. And that's where the scattered light burns holes in the night came from. And I just thought it was so beautiful. And I thought, this is the name of this project. And I believe I Oh, I didn't. And again, the same thing with the vocals. There's very just some choir, medieval choir vocals in the beginning and throughout the piece.
Well, let's take a quick listen to the title track from Scattered Light, Scattered Light.
The dark will call you out, but the light will find you. The dark will call you out, but the light will find you.
Title track off of the new album Scattered Light, available this summer with Michelle Schaefer. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Oh, Michelle, I would love to hear the inspiration behind Inscribe These Words. Can you give us some background on that?
Well, I started to just play these chords, and this line came out, and it's a quote, Mare Baba, inscribe these words on your heart, nothing matters but love. And so I shortened it, nothing matters but love. And then it goes on to talk about, if all in all is in everyone and everything, why can't we just love each other? We're all humans. We need to just love each other. And so with all the things that were going on last year, between, you know, all the politics and the butting heads and just the intolerance between, it just broke my heart. And so that's where that came from. And the clip that you're going to play starts out with in the middle of the song is full on choir vocals that were really fun to write. I actually had to write them out and then I sang them, and I recorded each of the lines. I recorded four tracks of each one. So there's 16 tracks of Michelle. Actually might be more, because there's woven notes. There is another layer over that. And Brian did mix them, and he did an amazing job and put all these wonderful cello parts. And he has this new plugin system where he can do orchestral strings that sound fabulous. And
well, why don't we go ahead and take a listen to that on Inscribe These Words from Scattered Light album, ready for summer release. From the Scattered Light album, Michelle Schaefer. Being a recording engineer back in the tape days, I love the layering of the vocals and everything you talked about. Just so complex in that piece. And, of course, that's coming out this summer.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah, Brian Leach, he does an amazing job. We've been working together since 2013. And this is our fourth project. And we've done a bunch of other things as well. Burning Away, not Scattered Light. Burning Away was written the day after Halloween 2019. because, and there's this thing, and there's some lyrics in there, autumn and winter are mixed up on the ground, because it was green and it snowed, so it was crazy. It snowed on Halloween. So this song was one of the first songs where I started really playing with the chord structure harmonics on the guitar, like playing a good portion of the song just in harmonics. I have a love for harmonics. I love to finish a song with a harmonic. Ding! It's so lovely. It's so fun. And it's orchestrated pretty good. It's pretty big. It's moody. It's kind of a dark, moody song. There's a lot of dark and moody things going on in this record. But a fusion with orchestrated and vocals and choirs, and it's fun. Being such a blast.
Let's take a listen to Burning Away from the Scattered Light album coming out this summer.
Winter came early, overlapped the fall, the leaves on the tree barely changed color at all. Now autumn and winter are mixed up on the ground. You opened your heart and your feelings escaped. Sound the alarm, your soul's burning away.
Scheduled for summer release from Michelle Schaefer. Scattered Light album, that was a selection from Burning Away, and she's going to release those as singles over the period of time, and then, of course, as a whole album later this summer. So another beautiful piece there.
And now this one, Michelle, when you sent me this a few months ago, I believe, your interpretation of Moondance is so magical that I want to live within that interpretation. I just listen to it over and over again. I'm so excited for everybody to hear it. Now, what made you, or what inspired you to this particular interpretation? I don't want to give too much away. I'll let you do
that. There was a brief... Okay, so I'm in this group called Ghostwriters Highway, and it's run by Marco Mazzi, who lives in Brisbane. He's a producer, composer, who has a music library and pitches to film. And he had a call for a dark and moody version of Moondance, and he couldn't believe it could be done, actually. And I did another one. I did a different song, Heaven is a Place on Earth, by Belinda Carlisle, but we're talking about Moondance. And I was like, oh, I could do that. So I took my guitar, and I just did very simple chords. In pop right now, from what I understand, they're doing just the root and the third for chords. And so I simplified it. And all I did was the root and the third. And I took my hollow body and played it really slow and made it really dark.
Oh, so beautiful.
And I sang it. I sang it in here. And then so there's a different version out. You're just going to hear the guitar in my voice that Brian mixed, but we do have another version, and Marco Mazzi took it and he made it really dark, and there's whispers underneath it, and it's really profound. And I'm doing George Harrison, Isn't It a Pity, right now. I've got that in the works. I did a demo of it, and I just need to record it. I just haven't had time. That's another, but it's going to be the same slow down, simplified guitar part, very atmospheric.
Gorgeous.
Using that dark, whispery voice.
Well, let's take a listen. This is Moondance from the Scattered Light album, summer release, Michelle Schaefer.
And all the night's magic seemed to whisper and hush, and all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love?
And that was Moondance from the Scattered Light album, going to be released this summer. So that was Michelle Schaefer once again. Michelle, tell us a little bit about how people can find you, your music and everything, if they want to take a listen to you.
They can find me on Facebook, on Instagram, Michelle Schaefer Music, Spotify, iTunes, CD Baby, YouTube. And so it's Michelle Schaefer Music, S-H-A-F-E-R. Don't put a C. It's two L's in Michelle. And I am working on a new website. So that will be MichelleSchaeferMusic.com. I have an old site up. It's not really updated. So
it's there, but you want to update it.
Another thing on my list. So releasing this record and working on some music videos to go along with that. And that's really exciting.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. That was Michelle Schaefer. You got some samples of her music from the Scattered Light album. Singer, songwriter, guitarist, and it was a wonderful person. Wonderful person, and we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.